It's Friday, August 19th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, so we want to make sure that you visit techpodcast.com. Hang on to your hats, everyone. We got a great show. Aloha. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. I am Todd Cochran, your host, and it is very, very, very late here in Honolulu. But hey, I'm excited to be here today and to be putting on what I hope is going to be a great show. And I hope everyone's had a great week and is ready for Friday and ready for the weekend. Actually, I know that I am. It's been a very interesting week. If you've been following the weblog, I'm not going to say too much more beyond that. You have all seen some of the activity that's been going on there. But, yeah, you know, every once in a while you have to, you have to stick it out there a little bit. And I definitely did. So I learned a few things this week. So I'm not going to say too much more than that. But needless to say, it's been a very, it's been a productive and a learning experience week for me. Okay, hey, if you're tuning in for the very first time, make sure you do visit the website at geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. And some of you had sent me an email earlier in the week saying, hey, I had trouble finding where to get subscribed to your mailing list. And all you need to do is when you are on the main site, you look under the Geek Navigation tab and you'll see something there that says Podcast Newsletter. If you click on the podcast newsletter, it's going to take you to, it's going to give you two options. The top option is mailing list only, no newsletter. And the second portion is newsletter only / no mailing list. So basically what the bottom entry is if you want to only get the newsletter, it's basically twice weekly with the, you know, for the new show announcements. And every once in a while, I'll send something out on it also, but usually only two announcements a week. You want to sign up for the bottom list. If you want to sign up to the interactive mailing list, which really isn't that interactive, you'll still get the, I think I do port the newsletter over there, but you'll also be included on just the general chitter chatter. So that's where you can find that on the main website. And for those of you that have been with us for a while, hey, thanks for staying subscribed. And, you know, the emails keep coming in, and I really do appreciate all of the comments, positive and negative. They are definitely taken to heart, and I want to thank you for those. We'll go into some of the listener email tonight. But I do want to talk quickly, and I've talked about it before, but I haven't really expanded upon it very much. I did a little bit, but I want to talk about a new initiative that I have that's getting ready to launch. And it's not only myself, but I'm working with a group of listeners, a couple of entrepreneurs, some people that are, actually, I've got a lawyer on the team. If people hear that, they go, oh, no, well, you got a lawyer on the team. But we're putting together what we hope is going to be a unique podcasting site called podcasternews.com. Now, currently, there's nothing on the site. You're going to go there, and you're really not going to see anything. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be basically launching into beta, where the podcasters that have agreed to work with us are going to be able to do some initial testing of the website and of some tools that we've created to get ready for the official launch and where we can shake out some bugs. Now, I would expect that we had originally wanted to launch September 1st, but I don't think that's going to happen just because we want to make sure everything's right, make sure the paperwork's square, and we have the structure all set up. But if you're a podcaster and you want to be involved in what we are going to be, I showed a couple people today the mock-up of the site, and the biggest reaction out of their mouth was, oh man, that looks awesome. So it, you know, it's, it accumulates a lot of ideas that I've had over the past maybe 9 months. It's combined with some other people's ideas, and I think what you're going to end up seeing is something real cool. Now, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag on the functionality of it. I've talked a little bit about it in the past, but for some legal reasons, we're not going to talk about it just because we've got to get some paperwork filed first before we start really talking about the functionality of the website. But it is going to be unique. It's going to allow those of you that like to have short snippets of news in the morning when you're driving to work, we're going to give you an opportunity to get your daily news fix from podcasters throughout the United States and the world. And I'm sure at first when we launch, we're probably going to be a little low on content just because I think we got 42 podcasters so far that have indicated they want to do something with us. But we got to get the beta going to see who's actually going to work out and who's going to end up being on the core team. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not going to be creating any content. I really don't have the time to do it. So I'm going to be involved more kind of the managing the people that are actually going to be creating content. So we're excited about that, obviously. And I know that I am. So if you're a podcaster out there that has basically not become involved and wants some more information, I'm going to be having a conference call on Sunday at 9 p.m. Pacific. And if you want some information, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, this coming Sunday. If you want some to get involved, you need to send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Said, Todd, I want involved. Get me on the mailing list. Tell me how to get involved in the meeting on Sunday, and I'll get you hooked up, okay? And we probably will maybe give you, some of you, maybe just a taste of what the site's going to look like. Maybe not. It all depends on who all's in the meeting room, I guess. Along with that, on the 3rd of September, we're going to have our second big production with GoToMeeting over at Tech Podcast. And we're looking for topics that you guys want us to talk about. It's not limited to tech. It can be anything. If you've got something that you're really interested in, I would like to cover that. And I think one thing that we may cover, something I've been thinking about, is Dave Weiner's new OPML editor tool. And if that sounds like something that you'd be interested in watching or checking out, let us know, and we'll put that on the table for consideration. Along with that, I got some emails back from you guys saying, "Hey, I heard your ghost story. Did you have an earthquake? Was that could have been caused by an earthquake?" And I'm like, "No, I don't think it was an earthquake. It was something more dramatic." Hey, let's talk about show 100. I think we're at 92 tonight. I'll have to actually look. But we're really ramping up for show 100. I've got a fourth sponsor, not a fourth sponsor, but a fourth company that's contacted me and indicated that they may be looking to give away a huge prize. And retail value on it is four digits, folks, okay? So I haven't sewn that up yet. As soon as we get that locked down, then I'll let you know if they're going to come on board. I'm hopefully that they are. And it's something I kind of actually would want, but obviously I'm going to be non-eligible. But I did want to play you a promo of one of the guys that are going to be giving away $300 in products and services. So check this quick promo out.
Hello, Geek News Central listeners. This is Adam Raymer from Madtown Aces Audio Productions. We specialize in making podcasts sound better. We're proud to help Todd the Geek celebrate his 100th show here at Geek News Central. Todd's going to be giving away some great prizes on that show, including $300 in audio production services from us here at Madtown Aces Audio Productions. This is for all of you, the loyal Geek News Central listeners, just to say thank you and thank you for staying subscribed. I can't wait for the 100th edition of Geek News Central Podcast, and I bet you can't either. Again, this is Adam from Madtown Aces Audio Productions reminding you to podcast like you mean it. Now back to you, Todd.
Thanks, Adam, and make sure you get signed up for the mailing list, okay? Because I think that's where we're going to get our winners from. I want to make sure that we are giving prizes back to people that listen and stay subscribed and are watching basically what's going on here. And there's going to be a few, we're going to make this so it's pretty interactive so that that we are assured that the listeners of this show get it, and it just doesn't become a free-for-all for people popping in here for the 100th show. Okay, I want to save you some money. And the way to do that is to get your own piece of the internet now at GoDaddy.com. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name, and my friends at GoDaddy make it fast, fun, and affordable. Right now, .com names are just $3.99 when you purchase any other product. Plus, my listeners get an additional dollar off any order. Just enter Geek2, that's G-E-E-K, and the number 2 as your source code. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com. Okay, thanks GoDaddy for being a sponsor, and check it out over there, folks. So it looks like some pretty cool prices there. All right, hey, we got an listener email. Let me go through these real quick. Jim Williams, hey, thanks for the link to virtualearthinfo.com. I've seen this before. It goes along kind of with another website, Jim, that I found earlier this week that is totally awesome. If you guys have been reading the website, you'll have caught that I talked about a new similar site called Flash Earth. It's at flasheearth.com. And basically, you got to go there to play with it. And me and the wife sat in front of the computer for like 2 years. 2 hours and played with Flash Earth, dragging our cursor all over the world and drilling down into. I found houses I used to live in, apartments. I took her on virtual tours of places I used to work. It was a lot of fun. And flasheearth.com. So make sure you check that out. But the one that Jim suggested was virtualearthinfo.com. This is actually a video. Kind of a similar, you guys are going to have to just watch the video, okay? Virtualearthinfo.com and check out the video that is on there. I'll put this up in the show notes. I think I had it up on the website already. Richard, I don't know what's going on with Nimic. You sent me a screenshot of some stuff that's going on there. To me, it looks like you have an issue with your .NET framework for Microsoft. I would send the Nimic folks a message and see if they can help you out. I don't have an answer for you. Sorry, my friend. Grant, hey, you were looking for that ukulele music that I played on the show a while back. That was my wife's cousin, and I had her looking for the CD earlier tonight, and he did that in the back of his, for those of you that heard that show where I played that, he did a little jam in his back room, and they recorded it. I'll see if I can find that. I may try to play it on the next show, Grant. I don't have it ready tonight, but we'll see what I can do here in the next Tuesday, okay? I want to thank Frank for his comments on my book, Podcasting a Do-It-Yourself Guide. That is much appreciated, but I do appreciate it. And also, Tim, hey, thanks for your comments also, and thank you for being a listener, okay? All right, there was a couple of people that I missed on Tuesday talking. They had sent me some emails, and I didn't scroll up far enough as I was reading them through. One of those was from Tim. I don't want to say his last name. He recommended a new mic that I'm not familiar with, the MXL V63 MBP Desktop Recording Kit from Guitar Center. He says he really likes that kit that he bought with them. It is a condenser mic for, $99, and has a decent sound. And the thing about it that he likes is it holds a 9-volt battery, and you don't need phantom power. So you can, the cool thing about that mic is you can plug it into a 1/8 mini plug, which basically plugs right into your microphone input on your computer. So I tell you what, Tim, why don't you record me a 60-second spot with that thing? And encode it like 128 and send it over to me so we get an idea what it sounds like. And, I use Marshall mics, too. I have a MXL V69. That's what I use here. Okay. And of course, here's hey, Bill, I definitely want to get hooked up with you, my friend, with what you're doing over there with your company. So send me a message, and I sent you a reply, so let's talk, okay, my friend? Sounds like a great promotion. Okay, and I think that's about it. Oh, there was a guy that was here in Hawaii. His name's Abe. He's attending the He's a junior at Hawaii Pacific University. Hey, Abe, sorry, I don't need a co-host right now, but sure'd like to hear you do a podcast, especially on what you're studying there. I think it would be cool to get some insight into what's going on in the basically some of the advanced technologies used in nursing today. So, of course, with computer information systems in nursing. So why don't you think about doing a podcast on that? It sounds pretty cool. Okay, give a short message for the promotion for the GoToMeeting. Here we go. The TechPodcast.com roundtable is going dynamic with GoToMeeting. Everybody had such a great time with the product the first time we used it that we will have live events with GoToMeeting again and again. GoToMeeting allows us to share what's happening on our desktops in real time. We will be demonstrating websites, software projects, and all sorts of solutions on our presenter screens. And when it comes time to answer your questions, you'll see the answers unfold before you. GoToMeeting allows us to share your screen just as easily as it is to share ours. You can try GoToMeeting for your own needs free for 30 days. To get this special deal, head to GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. You'll love what you see. Okay, on the, let's see here, what have we got? I got a whole bunch of information on the news front tonight. And we're already running long on time. I chatted too much earlier in the show. Let's see here. What have we got here? I've got a site that I wanted. Oh, some of you have been dealing with this worm that's been basically making rounds this week. And I know that I put the word out on the show, but I do have some solutions if you're still dealing. You shouldn't be. So most of you guys should be patched already. And if your companies are having problems and you're a small business operator, you know, I've got some links up for this worm that had been going around and basically some tools to get rid of it. So go ahead and if you need any help on that, go ahead and just go over to the geeknewscentral.com website and we'll be able to help you out. Okay, let's get into the hardcore content that I've scored up tonight here. And I've got a few items. It wasn't that busy of a news day. But there was enough to get some cool stuff here. I found an article for TiVo users. And check this out. TiVo version 7.2 allows PC to TiVo transfer. And basically what this is going to allow you to do is if you've gotten if you have content on your PC, video content stuff, you can upload that data or even download data from your TiVo and watch it vice versa. And the cool thing about this is the specs on this allow you to play video at 8 MPS at 720 by 480, delivered as a 16:9 with optional Dolby. This is pretty close to HD, okay? So check out this article if you've got a TiVo version 7.2. And I'd be honest with you, I don't have a TiVo. I've got a DVR. And, or PVR, whatever you want to call them. I think at this point, if they're allowing us to transfer data onto the TiVo and off the TiVo, I think it might be time to look at buying one. So, hey, why don't you guys send me some recommendations on the TiVos that you've got sitting in your shelves, which ones you like. I want one that has a DVD burner on it. So, that way I can, you know, burn shows to a DVD, and you know, I don't necessarily. I can do it if it allows it transfer to my computer. I actually do it that way, but I think I'd rather do it directly from the TiVo. So send me a recommendation on what you think. Okay, have you guys have you ever done an MRI? I'm kind of scared of MRIs. You know, I've got a some steel in my back, and obviously it's stainless steel, so or titanium, one of the two. But have you guys seen all these crazy pictures about, you know, having metal chairs in the room with the MRI or, you know, equipment that has got metal? It's been some crazy stuff that's happened with MRI equipment. And luckily, well, there's been some people that have actually gotten killed while they were in the MRI machine. So make sure you take all the metal out of your pockets if you're going in for MRI. And along with that, take a gander around the room and make sure there's nothing that's been rolled in there that's going to end up in the machine with you when they turn this thing on. You know, they've got some of the strongest magnets in the world, and it's been cited for a bunch of rash accidents. So just be careful out there. okay. I found a real, this is kind of a marketing thing. It was on Jason Calacanis' weblog, and he's basically got a statement on here. It says, why don't third-party ad networks take any risk? Or why the floor CPM is the future? And basically, a CPM model is cost per thousand, cost per million. You know, when companies negotiate with you to place their ads on your site, they normally pay on a cost per million basis, and then it would be, you know, you get some sort of a bonus on click-throughs, etc. And he's basically saying it's taken his network a long time, and it does take a long time to sign an ad deal, you know, working up to 2 weeks to, you know, sign an actual advertising insert with new companies. And they're having a hard time really justifying all that work for a, you know, for something is not going to be known, whether the quantity of dollars being returned on those advertisements are going to pay off. And what he's saying is why don't he's willing to sell ad impressions at a certain rate, and or actually, you know, basically he wants companies to pay him ad impressions at a certain rate for having the ads on his network. And it's what it basically does is it it basically guarantees him a certain amount of money every time. But the models don't work out quite that well because companies are saying, well, you're going to get a return of $4 to $6, you know, up to $4 on per CPM. So go ahead and check this out. He's got a pretty cool article, pretty interesting mindset, and I kind of like his thought process on this particular marketing idea. And I know some of you are like, what in the heck are you talking about? You just confused the heck out of me. And maybe I did. I probably didn't make it real clear. But go over to, I'll have this linked up in the show notes, and you guys can go over there and check that out. And I think this is cool. And if you're a marketing person, I think you would do well to take this advice and maybe implement some of the ideas he has. There's some very interesting numbers that have been released by Skype. Skype came out today with some data basically saying that their application has surpassed the 150 million download mark, and there's 50 million registered Skype names. And basically the article is saying, well, so what? We don't care it's been downloaded 150 million times. We want to know how many people are paying for Skype Out or the voicemail service. Give us some real numbers, Skype. That's what's being asked by, you know, some of the people that are interested in the marketing data, because, you know, Skype is basically shopping for a buyer. And so there is some speculation that maybe their model is not working out as well as they have kind of indicated. And one of at the bottom, the thing that was very interesting about this article is at the very bottom, the author of this was able to get some information, and I'm going to kind of read this here. I managed to get my hands on some data which shows that the growth might be really slowing down, and that is perhaps one of the reasons Skype is outshopping itself. For instance, active users dropped 19% from April to May 2005 in the U.S., while France and Brazil had no growth. Now, I won't go on and read the rest of this, but it's kind of basically going over their growth rate and how it's kind of flattened out. And I do find it curious that the take-up rate on people using Skype has dropped off, because the service has actually gotten better. You know, I've done a number of Skype calls this week alone, and they were all remarkably clean. And, you know, the problem I have here in Hawaii is that the backhaul to the mainland, you know, I'm dealing with the Trons that are leaving Honolulu going into LA and then, you know, getting routed around, and all that traffic it's dealing with. So there is some increased ping times, but what's cool, I guess, is that they've optimized software a little bit. It's in the drop off has been minimal. I do hear it on conference calls. I hear bleed through and that kind of stuff, and sometimes an echo. But I wonder why the drop off has been more. Is more people picking up? You know, once they tried Skype, they've decided, oh, I like this kind of voice IP service, so maybe I need to implement a real voice IP service, maybe go to Vonage or somebody like that. So It's gonna be interesting to watch what happens when Skype is based, you know, eventually sucked up and bought up by some company, and make all of the all the people there rich. Okay, I found a real cool site. It's over at freepctech.com. They've got an unbelievable number of Windows XP tips and tricks. So if you like tricking out your XP setup, go ahead and check out this link. I think it'll be, there's a lot of cool little stuff in here. And a lot of stuff that I was not familiar with before. And I played about an hour with it today, just playing around with some of the different things. Okay, you gamers, it looks like that Microsoft has announced the Xbox 360 pricing. But there is some disgruntled people out there that are basically saying, okay, Microsoft, you're kind of toeing the line here and trying to hype something that is going to maybe bite you a little bit. But basically, you're going to be able to buy the Xbox 360, it looks like, for $299. But the problem with it is, it's going to be like a stripped down Xbox, no hard drive, no Xbox Live, what else? Some other core items, no memory card, original Xbox games, so no wireless controllers, that kind of stuff. But it looks like what you're really going to pay for the Xbox 360, if you want to really have a box that's going to have all the functionality that they're planning for it, is you're going to have to spend like $399. So, you know, where is the break point? Okay, you know, obviously the Xbox is portable. You know, you don't have to really. I guess I'm not a gamer, you know. So, you know, my boy is, but why not play it on a computer? You know, I guess that's where there, you know, people that game and people that don't game don't understand. I don't even sit down on the PlayStation and play with my son because I'm not a gamer. I go in and sit with him and stuff, but I let him play. And if I do play, then I usually get knocked out in about 3 seconds. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with this pricing. Of course, the Sony has basically, there was a shot across the bow in that there was an advanced sale thing going on Amazon where they basically, the new PlayStation was announced for $299 itself. So, little gamemanship here on pricing for these new game stations, or these new, you know, the Xbox 360 and PlayStation. Okay, how many of you like to Wi-Fi wherever you're at in your house or on your property or across the yard or share it with your neighbors or whatever you may do? There is this new router. It's basically a Bountiful router, extends the Wi-Fi range up to 1,200 feet. Well, this is great if you have a business or if you have maybe a property that you're leasing, subletting apartments in or something like that. This may be a way for you to commercialize and basically add as an added value service for a guest or whoever may be. If you're basically subletting, or if you've got a business, or if you just like to have your Wi-Fi all the way out in the yard and halfway across the street or something, but looks like $700 for this bad boy now, or $625, excuse me. But there is, if you guys search around, and depending on what router you have, there are some, how should we say it, modifications that you can make to stock routers, wireless routers. So just do some searching on the internet and you may actually find a way to not have to go out and spend $625, but get maybe close to the same range on what you already have in your house, okay? I found a site tonight that got me to thinking a little bit. It's called last.fm, and it reminds me of another site a little bit. But what I thought was the thing that caught my eye here, and if any of you are developers or podcast gurus that are, developing products for podcasting, here is something that you need to look at, because they have, and what caught my eye is after, it's basically a service where you sign up and it will watch on your MP3 player what you have listened to, the music that you've listened to. And it will basically report back to Last.fm what you've listened to. And then it does a little matching service, and it kind of links you up with other people that are listening to similar music, so that maybe you can look at their playlist and, you know, what they're listening to. Well, they've got this thing, it's called an Audio Scrubber plugin, and it's for your media player, iTunes, Winamp, etc., which sends the name of every song you play on your computer or your MP3 player, I guess, back to Last.fm, which I've kind of already talked about. Why can't we do this for podcasts? And I don't necessarily want to collect data, but I would like to know, you know, when we have X number of thousand downloads, I'd like to know how many times the show is actually listened to. That is the long tail in podcasting right now that we're kind of missing. And we could close that last loop. It'd be cool. So this might be give someone an idea on how to build a tool to do that. And who knows, maybe not. Maybe I'm just sending you on a wild goose chase here. But I'll put it up in the show notes regardless. Okay, the big news, big news. I think this is probably the big news of the night. The Mambo CMS developer crew, basically, if you guys have visited techpodcast.com or my company's website, Podcast Connect, those two sites are running on Mambo. And Mambo is basically a CMS application. It's won of a lot of awards. It's a great, I really do like the application. I really do. You know, it's a little rough around the web blogging edges and podcasting edges, which they've made some improvements I saw actually tonight in some further reading I did. Because I spent about an hour reading about the crazy stuff that's been going over there. But apparently there's been a power struggle going on between, well, the software was released as licensed under the GPL open source license. And basically, you know, you can download the open source information and you know, do whatever you got to do with it to modify it the way you want to. But the original company that owned it, named Miro, out of Australia, formed a new nonprofit organization called the Mambo Foundation. And what that was supposed to encompass, it was supposed to bring in the core developers. There was a group of core developers that had been working on this thing for free, not making, you know, not getting paid, just been building this application up into a world-class CMS suite. And it looks like the Miro tried to do a power play. Long story short, all of the developers, all the key developers have basically said, we're done with you. We're leaving. We're going out on our own. And they have launched a site called Open Source Matters, opensourcematters.org. And there's an open letter to the community from the developers. And it basically allows you to go in and add your name to the number of people that are going to be supporting them. And it's basically a mass exodus from the Mambo sites over to these guys. And I'm pretty amazed at the developments on this. I was not aware that this power play was going on. You know, Miro was basically what it looks like to me, and I'm speculating here. It looks like they were trying to regain control of the source code, and even though it was open source, be able to direct what was going to happen so that they could monetize the application after they'd already given it up to the community. So you're going to need to go over and read these developments. You need the main site for read the letter from Open Source Matters, and then you can go over to the mamboserver.com where Miro's in control of that domain. They basically are not giving up the copyright on the name, etc. There's a big fight over that too. There's an amazing amount of commentary that's going on in the forums. And actually, it appears that the moderators have all been replaced and that Miro is banning people that are making comments left and right. Pretty ugly scene over there. So there's this revolt going on in the Mambo community. We don't have to, they say, don't worry. The open source people say, we're going to continue, this core group of developers are going to continue on. And if we have, you know, they're basically going on their own and they're going to continued development as they had, so it should be business as usual. But I see all of the plugins and all those third-party applications that can be used with Mambo all shifting. So if you're a Mambo user, just beware of what's basically happening. Now, here's some concerning information. And if you're still using Internet Explorer, I basically imploring with you to go to Firefox, okay? There is an opinion piece out on eWeek that basically says IE flaw could, now this is an opinion piece, IE flaw could expose users if hackers distribute malware before Microsoft can issue a patch and enterprises need to act quickly. Okay, there's some information out that there is some issues. There's an exploit that could be vented against Internet Explorer, depending on some applications that you may have utilized. And it could be, it could happen relatively quickly. So I think it's imperative that you go over and read this article. And basically what's happening is that so many little bugs are being found or some openings to allow hackers in. The hackers are developing you look at this worm that's out. It was out a couple days after Patch Tuesday. And, you know, enterprises had not patched. So they got, you know, they basically got caught with their pants down. And, but this could happen with Internet Explorer too. Now, not to say that this, you know, that Firefox and other applications are going to be completely safe, because I don't think they will. But I would highly recommend that if you're using IE to read this article and then use some consideration on whether you should switch to Firefox or not. Okay, here's a question I want to ask all of you. I saw this over on Locker Gnome, a guy talking about how he does all of his banking online now, and I do all my 99% of my banking online. Very little do I do writing checks. I think I've written 2 or 3 checks in the last year. It tells you how much I do online. How many of you still balance your checkbook? How many of you actually keep track of everything that's going on? You know, I remember for many, many years balancing my checkbook, quite honestly, probably for the time I was old enough to have a checkbook, which would have been about 19, I'm going to show my age here, probably 82, 81 is when I had my first checkbook, all the way up until, you know, maybe 7 years ago, I religiously balanced my checkbook. But when online banking came on, I don't think I balance my checkbook anymore. I know I look at the statement, because I still get a paper statement, and I look at the online charges, and I go through down, and everything's pretty, pretty apparent where the money's going. But, you know, I read an article on Locker Gnome where a gentleman saw a double charge that he had found on his account statement. Online, and he caught it, and he was able to talk to his bank. But I wonder how many of us have gotten the habit of just not doing our balancing our checkbook, and if we're actually losing money because of like these type of little instances where there's double charges. I think that I don't know if I'm going to go back to balancing my checkbook, but I know I'm going to go back to, you know, doing a cross comparison on, you know, make sure I save all my share check charges and all that stuff. So I go back and say, okay, you know, this was $12.72, and they really did charge me $12.72. Because, you know, I don't write checks, so I'm going to have to keep all the credit card receipts from using the Visa share check card. So, I'd like to hear you guys' feedback on that. How many of you are still actually balancing your checkbook on a monthly basis? And how many of you use, Quicken or one of those type of applications. Okay, Toshiba, if you've been with us for a while, you may remember we talked about Toshiba's initiative to create a perpendicular magnetic record drive. And it's basically a new way of writing data to a platter on a hard drive. And basically what it's going to do is it's going to allow Toshiba, as they advance the technology. Now, they're releasing a 40-gig single-platter drive, and they're going to do an 80 later in the year. But what this has the potential of doing is if they get this thing dialed in completely, is instead of data being basically put end-to-end, you know, front-to-back, they basically stand the data up and lay it on the track vertically, And I kind of, that's kind of, if you could see me right now, I've got two fingers held straight up versus laying down. And it's they're able to put more data on the recording track of the hard drive. Now, I'm sure that they're trying to get this dialed in, but if they are able to successfully go multiple platters and get what this is going to do, it's going to allow us to have an immense amount of data on disk. Now, what's cool about this disk that they've released, it's a 40 gig on a 1.8-inch platter. Is that amazing? Think about that. 40 gigs on 1.8. I think I've got a circle here that I'm looking at. That's tiny. So not only is it going to allow them to build smaller hard drives, but it's going to allow them to, you know, think about the speed of this thing. Okay, so pretty cool over on Slashdot. Well, I was kind of bummed today. I got found an article over on Reuters that was talking about the next shuttle launch to be in March. So they are not going back to International Space Station in October. So again, we are seeing a lengthy delay. You know, gosh, that's going to be significant. So they've got to get this foam issue figured out on these external tanks. So they're saying right now it's going to be March 2006 before they are going to plan their next shuttle launch. So we're out of the space business again for a while. So, you know, the guys up the ISS, they have to rely on the Russians in the Soyuz resupply ships to take care of things. Just when are we going to get our act together? Looks like Google and Microsoft have teamed up in that Microsoft has made a plugin for those of you that use Blogger at blogger.com, where you can type something in a Word document, and instead of saving it as a doc file, you can save it to Blogger. And it goes vice versa. You can pull stuff off Blogger and make an edit, put it back up. A pretty cool little tool. I just wish Microsoft would have done it for the entire community and tapped it into the API that's readily available. Maybe if we all scream and jump up and shout loud enough, maybe they'll do it. Hopefully Google didn't get something exclusive with Microsoft on this, and we'll see something soon. Now, I hope that, I wish they would do this for OneNote. I use OneNote quite a little bit, and I think that would be awesome for doing like link blogs. Because I know I drag a lot of stuff into OneNote as I'm looking at stuff, and it'd be cool to be able to publish to a weblog from OneNote. But anyway, pretty cool little tool that they've developed there, and those of you that are using Blogger, make sure that you pull down the tool and give it a try. Let me know what you think. I don't use Blogger myself, but I'd like to see what you guys think about it. Okay, over on Doug Kay's weblog, he had a reply from Mark Ramsey. Mark Ramsey made this pretty strong statement about podcasting last month that Doug had replied to, and then there was a cross reply back from Mark. And I think any of you that have been following this, it's probably a good read here, because it talks about some potential statistics on number of people that are going to be listening to podcasts by 2006, how many is going to be creating, etc. I won't go into the details of it except to say that this is probably an article that you want to read. I think Doug's got some great points here. I don't necessarily agree with Mr. Ramsey's conclusions, but hey, that's life. Okay, Chris Perillo comes up with some great stuff, and he has published the web article says, the top list of why top lists suck. And this is in response to Jason Calacanis over at Weblogs Incorporated put a challenge out to all the major RSS search engines, Feedster, Technorati, PubSub, you know, all those groups that do, you know, basically tracking what's going on with weblogs. And he says, you know, that he basically had complained that the top 100 list over at Technorati was old, out of date, invalid, etc. And he put that challenge out. So Feedster came out with a top 500 list. And I read down through the list, and I don't know exactly how they're figuring out their logarithm. Actually, and we talked about this on the last show where I'd requested some information from them, which I have not gotten anything back. But subsequently, there was a weblog posting up said that they're using a logarithm that's not available on the website to basically see where people stand. But anyway, Chris's the top list of why top lists suck. I just want to go through these real quick. Number one, mindshare is ethereal. Numbers alone will never ever tell their full tale. Number two, a list is only as strong as its developer structure. Validity, aka mindshare, and taxonomy. You may not even rank on the X list because the indexer doesn't know about you. And I'm not gonna skip some of these here. Number four, follow money. List positions and nominations can be and are sold on a regular basis. This is the case more often and not, sadly. Very curious perception from Chris. Now, I agree with number five completely, and this is one of the reasons why we did not publish publicly the voting totals over on Podcast Awards. And this goes exactly into that. Popularity contests hurt feelings and create unwarranted animosity. It's a lot like high school, only there's much more at stake when you don't make a seemingly important list. Exclusivity is only cool when you're included. So, you know, even though we did have some exclusivity, boy, I tell you, I can tell it's late here. I'm tired. I'm destroying the English language tonight terribly. But I think it's kind of, you know, it's basically we didn't want to publish the numbers for the simple fact that we didn't want people going, we got more than you. Who, you know, obviously there has to be a winner of a category, and there has to be a ranking on some of these lists. But we really didn't want to show what the totals were, and it was. And I think number five sums it up. I'm not going to go through and rank, read all these. There's 10 of these. I think it's they're all very valid. May question a few of these, but hey, it's a good commentary. Okay, if those of you that didn't get on the land rush number one, hey, looks like Google is going to be selling about 14 million shares of their Class A stock. I don't know if I can afford any of it with the closing price recently at $285. But they're going to sell 14 million shares to hopefully raise around $4 billion. Looks like they're looking to arm their war chest of cash. So, hey, we're at 47 minutes, so I need to wrap this up at this point. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. Hey, next, I may do a little different show on Tuesday because Monday evening, when I normally record, I'm going to be on television here in Hawaii for a whole hour on a public access station, helping a tech show celebrate its 10th anniversary, along with talking about podcasting and some other things. So I don't know if I'm going to do, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do the show on next Tuesday. So I'm going to have to, you're going to have to bear with me if the show's a little late. If it doesn't show up till Wednesday, don't be surprised. I'll try to get one out on Tuesday, okay? I really will. If I have to do it early, I will. It might be a shorter show, but regardless, thank you for staying subscribed. And as always, you can Skype me at Geek News Central. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. I want to thank everyone, and make sure you get signed up for the mailing list. For the big thing is for Show 100. And if you are a company that wants to be involved in our Show 100 giveaway, we would love to give away several thousands of dollars worth of prizes. And if you want to be part of it, please drop me an email at the same email address. But otherwise, hopefully we'll be back with you on Tuesday, if not Wednesday. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to get something out for you Tuesday morning. Meanwhile, take care. Have a safe weekend. Enjoy yourselves. And push away from the computer a little bit. You know, every once in a while, we all have to do that. So, aloha. See you soon. Bye-bye.